Before we get to This Week in Survivor with the tabulator, Kurt Clark, I've got the First Lady of Podcasting here with me. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good.
And Nicole, we are here to talk about one of our sponsors here today. Those are our friends over at forhers.com who are making access to birth control less of a hassle, Nicole.
It is a hassle to
and
get it.
Nicole, that I had asked you that, hey, I needed you to help me with this spot. And what was your response to whether or not you would come on and talk about For Hers with me?
I said, with the day that I had with those children, I'll gladly talk about birth control.
Okay. All right. Look, it takes time to go to your gynecologist's office, from what I understand. The hassle of getting your new pack on time, phone calls, your birth control, and the call should be delivered to you when you need it, where you need it, without judgment, and with a physician able to answer whatever questions you might have.
After today, I'm taking two pills.
For her? No, I don't think that's...
I just want to be sure.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how many you're supposed to take.
You probably shouldn't.
That sounds like too much, Nicole. Yeah. Don't get us in trouble with forhers.com, where doctors can tell you what your correct dosage is. It's a new women's wellness brand, putting your body back in your control, Nicole.
Yeah. Babies are cute. But
For Hers is helping women across the country get convenient and affordable access to birth control. No need to take travel time out of your busy day. For Hers provides access to licensed doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe you birth control that can be delivered direct to your door. For Hers puts the purchasing power back in your hands, bundling the cost of a birth control for one low price of $30 without the need for insurance either. No more booking time off to go to an in-person and doctor's appointment, pharmacy line, or insurance company on hold music. That is annoying.
That is really annoying.
In every way possible, For Hers would like to take this hassle off your plate. Everybody's body is different. For Hers offers 10 well-known birth control options. So whether you're already taking birth control or have no idea where to start, For Hers will connect you with a doctor online who can help determine the option that works best for you. Our listeners can get their first month of birth control from forhers.com right now for just $5 while supplies last, subject to doctor approval. See website for full details. Go to forhers.com/Rob. That's forhers.com/Rob. Restrictions apply. See website for full details.
Well, you don't even need to leave the house.
I do like that.
Yeah, I know.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yeah, that's right. This week in Survivor, that was the great Will from America with the theme to This Week in Survivor. I am Rob Cesternino, and we are ready to talk about everything that has gone on in this wild week of Survivor, and we're very excited to have this guest here with me. Long-time listeners of Rob's podcast know this person is no stranger to being with me on the podcast. It's also very exciting in a season where we have heard wand-offs from the wife of one of the contestants, and we've heard wand-offs from the son of one of the contestants. We are now have another first where the son of one of the contestants here on this season of Survivor is joining me. Please welcome Ron Clark's son, Kurt Clark.
I'm glad to be here. Ever since my cousin Sophie was on the show, you know, several seasons back. I don't know why she added an E to her last name. Dad Ron, go.
And maybe in a couple of weeks that Ron Clark, I'm going to get to see my son, Kurt, on a family visit. If we all just stay calm and strong.
There is a subset of people who are listening who are completely, okay. Yeah.
So you, just to confirm, you, Kurt Clark, you are not in any relation to Ron Clark.
No, Matthew Perry is my father. Okay. I just want to make that clear.
Okay. And if anybody is wondering, like, hey, isn't there another person on this podcast? Usually, yes. Jordan Kalish could not be with us for This Week in Survivor because, get this, he needed to go to a bachelor party this weekend. And so now we know what his priorities are. So we will not hear from Jordan Kalish until later on in the show when we have a pre-recorded This Week in Survivor History quiz before Jordan Kalish was a passenger to go down to New Orleans, Louisiana, to take part in some debauchery, I presume, in a bachelor party. He'll be back with us next week live, but that we'll get a pre-recorded This Week in Survivor History quiz later on in the show, Kurt.
Yeah, look out, New Orleans. No beer is safe.
Okay, yes. Yeah, be careful, everybody. All right. So, Kurt, excited to be back talking with you. It's been only a couple of weeks since we last spoke about the $1 million mile, and the Clark curse certainly was in full effect. So, good job there.
Yep. I try my best. I think someone on Twitter described it as, sniper-like accuracy, and he's, a surgical strike, if you will. Is it gone for good? I think it's just moved to Saturdays.
I think they took it off Saturday, I think, already.
Oh, well. Sorry, team.
Yeah. but I have not seen enough people thanking you for getting the Amazing Race to come back quicker.
I know. Where's the love? Yeah. It's like, yeah, so, it can... I'm trying to use my powers for good instead of evil, and I get no thanks.
Okay. All right, Kurt. So here we are after this really bonkers week of Survivor where we ended up having this really crazy tribal council. Let me hear up front what you thought about all the action from Wednesday night.
I do agree that this was the craziest tribal council that I have ever seen. And I've seen all of them. It was a mess, but it was a fun mess. And I went back and I watched the episode trying to figure out like what was it that led up to this. And I think it was a couple things before the actual tribal council. Coming out of the last vote, Julie wasn't knowing who she could trust. I think a byproduct of that is if you don't know who you can trust, you don't know who you can talk to. And I just know from personal experience, if like in high stress situations, if you're kind of keeping everything inside, the moment you're actually able to talk about it out loud to somebody or in a public forum like tribal council, you're just going to break down. Mm-hmm. It's just if you keep all of that bottled up. And we saw it happen a little bit by the well when she was talking to Devins and David Wright and Ron earlier in the episode. But it fully came out and fully, I think, expected and understood why Julie was having that reaction at tribal council.
What we've learned about Julie so far is that she has a hard time keeping things in. Sometimes she's really desperately trying to keep something in, keep it in. And then she can't help it. It just is going to come out.
Right. And whether she's in Central Park or on the island.
The closet. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. The closet. And then we also kind of learned during the tribal council that she hadn't really been let in on the vote until right before. And it sounded like it was kind of a mandate. Here's who you're going to vote for. She wasn't really part of any discussions leading up to that. But while she's at tribal and she's talking to Jeff, Jeff kind of, glances over to, Kelly and Julia. And as soon as Julie gets done talking, he kind of, says, that's understandable, blah, blah, blah. But then says, and I can't help but notice that, while you're talking, he calls out Julia and Kelly for, quote unquote, giggling while she's having this very emotional moment. And I think that call out by Jeff, something that Julie might not have even noticed, was really kind of the spark that lit the tinder and the powder keg in this instance. It was like kind of after that moment that everything just started pouring out in terms of people's plans and people started getting up and talking. So I think that's a little bit on our friend Jeffrey for why this all happened.
Okay. Yeah, Jeff was very sympathetic to Julie in terms of how she was feeling. I did love when Jeff was like, hey, That's the great thing about Survivor being in its 38th season is that our fans, they totally get it. Because as what we've learned in following Survivor all these years, the Survivor fans, super empathetic.
Oh, yeah.
They never question the emotions of the players, how they're feeling, or try to put themselves in the shoes of the people playing. The Survivor fans are very good at that.
I'm sure that if you scoured the Facebook page of Survivor, Twitter, Reddit, I'm sure there's not a single person who was, riding Julie for her emotional reaction in Tribal Council. I mean, everybody's completely understanding here.
Okay. All right. So, but you make a good point of that perhaps that's the moment where this whole thing turned on its head. And so I have this queued up. This is right after Julie finishes talking. Jeff is going to go back to Julia following these comments.
Everyone gets it. The other fascinating thing is that while you are crying and pleading your case, other people are almost giggling at the audacity of what you're saying. So, Julia, I know you have empathy.
Wait, what? I didn't catch this. Hold on. What are you talking about? Who? Name names, Jeff. Who was it? Okay. All right. So, but this is where things, I think you're right, do spin out of control.
For how she's feeling.
Absolutely.
But from a game point of view, what did you find so interesting about what she said?
What I was more so giggling at was Wentworth looking over at me asking if we're still good. And I was like, yes. So it was, that was a giggle. All these plans going on and the Survivor madness that is occurring right now.
So, why is she giggling on Kelly Wentworth asking her if it's good? And Rick Devins is in the back like an audible. Oh,
yeah. And then the drum music starts to pick up there. Like, this is where things are about to. This is where the action's about to happen. So, like, you know, part of it is probably just the sound cues. I'm now perched in the edge of my seat for something to happen. And it does. I mean, obviously, I think we heard from Twitter that this was probably about a 90-minute tribal council. Mm-hmm. We saw about a third of that, which is very generous of the editor, so thank you. But yeah, it all just kind of sparked from there. Like, Julie is now admitting vocally that, you know, she told Kelly that the plan was still on, which is not going to, you know, reassure Julie at all. Mm-hmm. So, and then Devins is ready to just kind of push things whatever direction he needs to, so...
Yeah, a couple things that I do think that in hindsight that Julia's better move would have been to say, no, Jeff, I'm just giggling because Julie is completely being paranoid here. Julie, stick to the plan. We're going with this. And then maybe like give Kelly like a wink, and not acknowledge that, no, I'm telling Kelly that the plan is still on. And I think that probably would have gotten less people anxious about what was happening. And then two, do you think that Jeff Probst has been reading the Ron Clark 55 rules? Because that was like a little bit of like, Julia, do you have something that you want to share with the rest of the class? I see you snickering over there while I'm talking. And it seems like that you must have something that you want to share with the group.
Yeah, quite possibly. He may have the DVDs back in his hotel room, his trailer, wherever
on
he's
staying. On his DVD shelf?
On his DVD shelf, right above the slow jams. I do want to go back to the very beginning of the episode where Ron takes Gavin aside, and there was this very nice, I want you to think about what you did last night.
I pulled that clip because it made me laugh too. That Ron was like in a total like parent or teacher mode about questioning Gavin about the move that he made.
So you feel okay with your decision?
I want you to think about what you did.
Yeah. And so you think this was a good move? Have you thought about it? Yeah. You still think it was a good idea to vote against Kama? Yeah. All right. Well, you sit right there and you think about it until you come up with another answer, young man.
Growing up, Ron was always doing that. I mean, Dad was always doing that to me. So I completely see it.
Kurt, did you think that the jury was a little overboard during that tribal council? Like, I find it hard to actually gauge, like, how much is the jury actually, like, on the edge of their seat, and how much does the jury play to the cameras?
This is season 38, Edge of Seat. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's, I think for any, out of all the tribal councils, this was probably one where it was okay. And I've, and Aubrey is right up there in terms of, you know, being good jury reaction shot. And she was centered, like, right in the cluster of the people. So she could, like, reach over and kind of pull people together. And I think that was perfectly fine. But I think something that we haven't really talked about much is the fact that, you know, one of these jury members is going to be coming back at some point. It's a little bit different from previous seasons where we've had Redemption Island, where that person's kind of stuck out there. You don't, you're not on the jury until you're out of the game. Here, a jury member is going to potentially come into the game, and they have the advantage of being able to watch what's going on amongst all of the people still in the game and kind of process that and pick up clues for, well, if I'm the person that gets back in at final six or final, whenever it happens, they're able to kind of observe and take in the things that they could potentially use later, whether it's some people rolling their eyes at something that somebody else is saying. They're able to kind of sit back and drink things in as ammunition that the people who are about to vote and who are really in the hot seat, the people who are still in the game, might not be able to see. It might not, and just be too stressed to pick up on. So I think there's a really interesting role that the jury can take at this point with just that fact that they know one of them is going to be coming back in. So I think I'm wondering to what extent they're doing that as well.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, based on what we see, though, on the Edge of Extinction, it does not seem like that the jury is looking like that they are a united front at times. Certainly in the pre-merge, it seemed like that they were a little more divided in terms of how they thought things should go.
Oh, yeah. And I'm thinking more in terms of, like, for instance, like Aubrey, you know, Aubrey's sitting on the jury. She can watch everybody in the game, still seeing how they're interacting with each other. What are their reactions to what other people are saying? And she's at a position where she can pick up on cues on dynamics from afar that she could potentially leverage if she's the person who comes back from Edge of Extinction. So I think it's a unique role being on the jury now than it had been in previous seasons, where you're kind of in this position to pick up information that you'll potentially be able to leverage if you're the person who comes back into the game. So it's not necessarily a cohesive thing, but it's an individual. I don't know if any of the individuals are taking advantage of this, but it seems like they potentially have the opportunity to.
Kurt, I just want to go back to the idea of the jury reacting to stuff. And I'm wondering if, you know, that this is all not necessarily a bug about the Edge of Extinction, but perhaps is this a feature where potentially we are getting a 13-person jury? And while many of the other shows on CBS feature either the laugh track or some of the shows filmed before a live studio audience, did the tribal council moments pop more? And we're not talking about popcorn, so no choking hazards on this podcast. But did the jokes land better because we're getting reactions from the audience? Does like an eye roll with like then everybody in the then we're seeing the reaction of the jury reacting to it, that in a way is the are we feeling the emotions happening at tribal council more because that we are getting a lot of shots of the live studio audience?
I think so, and I think the live studio audience is being more reactive than they have in previous seasons, because we heard from Eric, how is it was like, you know, an hour stretches into like forever, like time slows down on Edge of Extinction. Like there's nothing there. It's not like these are people who can you know, form their own rock band, the Dragons, at Ponderosa anymore. And they're being fed with burgers and booze, but like they have nothing
like they're
to
feral.
Do. Exactly. Like they are starved for entertainment. They don't, there's no chance for, you know, pizza, although the Fijian pizza, that might not be a bad thing, but they have like nothing to do except for these occasional treasure hunts that they get to go on. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that they're not going from Ponderosa.
Dude, we're starving for some entertainment. These tribals better be good, bro.
Exactly. It's like they're not going from Ponderosa to Tribal Council. They're going from boring edge of extinction where nothing is going on to Tribal Council. So this is really like the true highlight of their of their day, of their 3 day period or however long between tribals.
Yeah. So the Tribal Council is entertainment. It's such a reward for the edge of extinction people.
It's the Coliseum of, you release the lions and just see what happens.
Kurt, were you pumped up that the previously on Survivor is back? The reports of the demise of previously on Survivor turned out to be premature.
Eh. You know, I thought it was actually fitting for when they didn't have it at the point where the Edge of Extinction denizens, one of them was going to come back in the game. And it was nice to have it back, I guess. But it didn't bother me one way or the other. I wasn't bothered when it wasn't there. And now that it's back, it's fine.
Pick a lane here. Either we need previously on Survivor or we don't. And I think everybody was fine with like, okay, well, I guess we don't need it.
I am looking forward to the next one and how they're actually going to try to encapsulate it, given that half of the episode was Tribal Council and it was such a cluster. Like previously on Survivor, we're not really sure what happened. And then they just cut to camp and start the episode.
Yeah. The previously on Survivor is like what it used to be with like the opening credits, where it seems like, well, we got a minute to kill. All right, fine. Let's do a previously on, or this episode has too much stuff in it. So let's just do like they used to do, like instead of the long form title sequence, just like the bumper of the logo. Now you don't even get that anymore.
Yeah. Now next thing that's going to go is the, nighttime at camp immediately post tribal. Pretty soon, I think, by season 41 or 42, we're going to be starting at the reward challenge. It's I'm fine with it. It's a nice little recap for my mom and the people who can't necessarily remember what was going on.
Kurt, let me pitch you on this. Okay. What about instead of previously on, what if you get like the ticker on the bottom of the screen, like you're watching, ESPN or cable news that gives you the previously on?
I don't know. I can't multitask like that.
You're watching Big Brother After Dark.
Exactly. I only need one feed. I'm probably a couple beers in. I don't need to divide up my attention between like a ticker and what's going on the screen.
Okay. We'll think outside the box. I mean, it's season 38.
Yeah. Yeah. We've already it wasn't until my rewatch of this episode that I actually picked up on the Aurora, one extra vote, or, David Wright, half immunity idol. So it wasn't until this episode that I was actually noticing that. And that's even when I had read the article, about it, prior to, the episode in which it happened. This was actually the first time I had noticed it. So I need as little going on the screen as possible.
Yeah. Is that working, Kurt? The on the bottom of the screen?
No.
Yeah. I don't think we need it until Tribal Council. I think it, like, if you're showing me in the middle of the episode, Aurora one extra vote, Rick Devins half an idol, I'm not remembering that information if I didn't know it in the first place.
What I do think would be interesting, and I apologize if I'm going to set off any non-Big Brother people in the audience, but I think as people approach the voting urn, we need to have somebody like Julie Chen saying, War Dog is aligned with Kelly. And so we think that he would, we need that little,
War
I would
Dog
love that little.
has voted with Wentworth and Lauren for each of the first seven votes. Let's see what he does tonight.
I would love that for Survivor. Just even if a fan just did that voiceover in some sort of just extra footage on their own, I think that would be a nice piece of comedy.
Mm-hmm. I love comedy. I think you could have that. I think that you could just have it on the bottom of the screen at the Tribal Council of who has an idol, who doesn't have an idol, and just keep it on the screen there.
Because I don't know if we always see everybody's trip to the urn. I don't think we see everybody's.
Especially not with, you know, 11 people.
Yeah, yeah. I know we don't see everybody's like even like taking the time to vote, but even the walk there. But potentially just show the people who, you know, as they walk to the urn, just have it maybe like appear briefly at the bottom of the screen and just make sure you show those people. Even at that point, when they're just voting, put something up on the screen. I don't know, but it's a nice, thoughtful thing to include for those seasons where there's a lot going on. But this season right now, like, well, I was, you know, we were talking pre-show. I was like, I completely forgot until I think after the second time I watched it that Aurora has that extra vote. And that's going to potentially come into play next week. But it's a nice thing, I think, to remind people of when it becomes most relevant. And to your point, that's when you're getting to tribal council.
Kurt, let's do some predictions here. Aurora's extra vote. Do you think it ends up being A, impactful, B, played either incorrectly or in a non-impactful way, or C, going to the edge of extinction with Aurora?
I want to put it out in the universe that we get good TV. So I'm going to go with A, because we're in a situation where you've now got, you know, looking at original tribes, you've got 5 and 5, and in a 5-5 split, not saying that there aren't going to be new things coming together and people's trust being in different places, but if there is a true 5-5 split, then that's a point where an extra vote could make it 6-5 and could be impactful. Or it's potentially likely that, that there's just a 5-5 split along non-tribal lines. There's some other grouping that comes into play. And if Aurora could, you know, bring that extra vote as a leverage point prior to tribal council, that might get something going on. So I would like to say I'm going to hope for A, that it actually gets used in some impactful way.
I think
you don't sound hopeful. You're going with B?
I'm leaning towards either B or even C, because I just feel like that Aurora, I don't know who's going to work with her. I feel like that after that emotional tribal council where Lesu came together with Ron and with Julie, I don't know how those seven don't at least vote together another round, especially if it's going to be another short tribal council, considering that it's going to be a double episode. So I don't think that we're going to get like another 3 days of action and then another 1 day of action. But, you know, I come out of each episode being like, well, the people that voted together, that they just had success, they'll probably vote together again.
And this time you had basically Aurora was literally the only person who's still in the game who was on the outside of that vote. Mm-hmm. And so she that could make her an easy target, but then I do see,
like, she could have 5 votes this week, and I feel like it's not going to be that helpful.
But I
five's
see
a lot. Five's a lot.
Yeah. I see Ron. He took a step back. Like he took a kind of a Sandra approach, like anybody but me. I just don't want to be voted out. I could see him trying to at least insert a little bit of voice of reason to his tribe, saying, you know, we're now 5-5. We have to come together.
His pilot card, Kurt.
Yeah, true. But maybe like it's funny like that I had the same thought that that Jenny Autumn did, I believe, on the T-Bird show in terms of flight attendants. I was thinking the exact same thing. Is like maybe he's turning this pilot card, but maybe he's up and around and handing out peanuts. I don't know. I think he could potentially guide things in an interesting way. So I haven't given up on my fellow Clark.
Okay. All right. Kurt, let me play a couple of things for you. That I thought this was really funny at the start of the tribal council, that Jeff opened up the proceedings. And to me, this felt more like that Jeff was giving a toast at a wedding than beginning a tribal council. Here's Jeff Probst.
So there's an implicit agreement on Survivor, which is nobody is to be trusted, and yet everybody will choose to trust one or more people. It's this implied agreement that makes the blind side possible.
And that's what we're here for tonight.
Yeah.
If just I, raise your glass, marriage, everyone.
Swap in marriage for Blindside, and that could be, you know, somebody's, you know, a reading during a wedding, or like you said, a speech during a reception, and we're good.
Webster's Dictionary defines a blindside as something that comes out of nowhere. And it's this blindside which brings us together here tonight.
a great man once said, as a host of a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's, you know, the fact that we're no longer getting the post-tribal, you know, take care of yourselves and each other speech mm-hmm. From Jeff. It's fine. I'm fine with us getting this nice proclamation up front. And speaking of things that have vanished, we no longer get the "and Eric voted out at last tribal council." He no longer introduces the people as they walk in. I also picked up on.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's the things are slowly vanishing.
Yes. Okay. So that's part of, you know, the edge of extinction experience. So we don't have a proper jury introduction.
Yes.
Dude, you know how long I waited to be on a jury and I can't even get my name said? Like, I'm still here, bro.
That's an excellent point, Reem. We did not take that into account. Little Matt Money Smith. Sorry. Couldn't resist.
Yes. That, well said, Reem. You definitely should be. You're still there. Bro, don't even get me started. I should be the host. I should have been out there cheering people on, not Tim Tebow.
Yep, I absolutely see it. You're good.
Okay. All right. Kurt, we are going to get into the week in Survivor social media, unless there's anything else that you want to touch on.
No. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Survivor social media, and let's talk about one of my favorite sponsors, the people who are behind the dating app Ship. Kurt, have you heard of Ship?
Rob, you're on my crew in Ship.
Yes. Kurt, how am I doing for you? I am in Kurt Clark's crew on Ship. I don't want to overstep my boundaries because I don't want to, like, you know, I'm more protective over Adam Klein, that I feel like I know what he's looking for. I don't want to necessarily, go the wrong way. We haven't really talked this through yet.
I'd say Jessica Lise has found holy crap, I haven't been on here a while, has found like 7 matches for me.
Oh, she's in your crew too?
Our crew, Rob.
Okay, yes, our crew. Yes, okay.
You found no matches for me, so.
I will find one for you before the end of this ad read, Kurt.
You are relegated to the poop deck of the Clark.
Yes.
Crew.
Let's see. Well, I think I need to know some parameters for you, but I think I'm gonna find somebody. All right, okay, but let me concentrate on what I have to say.
Okay,
here.
Yeah, sorry.
As just like we're having fun finding people for Kurt's, giving us something to talk about. Dating is more fun when you do it with your friends, because you could be going through the matches and then we'd find out, okay, well, like, what's the age parameters Kurt's looking for? And then you get to know your friends so much better. Everybody's invested. Everybody can't wait to meet this person when you finally want to introduce them to the crew. In real life, it's a lot of fun. You'll be swiping left and right all day long, and you can invite your people that are in relationships too, so they can get in on the fun, and you can go ahead and strategize on what you're going to say, the opening lines, where you should go. It's all part of the experience on Ship. Dating is more fun when you do it with friends. Download Ship for free at getshipped.com/RHAP. That's get SHIPPED.com/RHAP. GetShip.com/RHAP and start today. Kurt, I didn't know that so many people in the crew.
And I want to apologize for Kelsey, Ashley, and Juliana for not passing the Sesternino filter.
Yeah, you can see that I was Xing people out.
Yep.
Kurt, I have very, very high standards. I'm not gonna
appreciate
put,
that.
I'm not gonna put a dud through for you.
Whereas I have to get Jessica's a little bit more liberal.
We're not settling. We're not settling. No. Look, I know that your true love is escape rooms, but so if a woman is going to try to get in between you and the escape rooms, she has to be perfect.
Yeah, not yeah. That's if I have to choose one, Rob.
I know. You're gonna I have to find somebody that's gonna make you forget about the escape rooms.
Now, maybe that's a potential build for the next generation of ship, is like intersperse the people with like concepts. Like I swipe right on Kelsey, I swipe right on Julia, I swipe right on escape rooms. And so it can help build up your profile.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Let's get into talking about the Survivor social media with our resident Survivor social media composer, the great Jacob Seeger Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. They give you the scoop. If tweets were in the ocean, they would not be poop. Tweets.
Hold on. Yes, we fished out the best tweets from the sea of social media.
I might be the poop.
Yeah. Okay.
So I normally listen to Twitch on double speed, and so this was like a slow jam for me. Mm. Both the Will from America theme song at the beginning and now Jacob's take on the old Ryan Elder jingle. So I'm enjoying it at the slower pace, I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Kurt, let's talk about this. A lot of people's just default setting was like, wow, that was crazy.
Yeah. Not incorrect.
Yeah. People were really just blown away by that tribal council. All right, so let's talk about some of the tweets from this past week. So Julia at the Julia Carter, she had a lot of tweets back and forth with people, but she tweeted out "Shut up, War Dog," and then followed it up with a tweet to at Johnny Fairplay shirt. Nobody's ever asked for a Johnny Fairplay shirt before to be made from something that happened on the show.
I you know what? And I could see it's short enough. It's pithy enough. It could be on a bumper sticker. It could be on a T-shirt. I do see Shut Up War Dog as having a Fairplay upside.
Now, usually survivors say to Johnny Fairplay, no, do not make a shirt. This is the first time, I think, that a survivor has ever asked Johnny Fairplay to make a shirt.
I think it's a good candidate.
Yeah. So there you go. All right.
I co-sign it.
All right. Then Julia Carter also tweeted, the best part of being voted off and going to the edge of extinction, I get to meet Reem. Dude, you think that it's going to be good here? Well, let me just tell you, this ain't no Holiday Inn. All right. Read the sign. You know, when I got here, nobody else was here. I didn't get to meet anybody. I had to sit here by myself and read the sign. And then when that was over, you know what I did? I read the sign again, okay? There's nothing to do here except read the sign, bro.
That is, I think, underreported part of Edge of Extinction is the Reem factor. And like we saw, you know, dude, you know, people who came here like second or third, they just don't get what it was like.
Yeah.
And she's holding court over Eric, who's just kind of sitting there like, yeah, tell me more. Like there's this Edge of Extinction cult that's happening with Reem as like this charismatic, quote unquote, leader.
Listen,
in the center.
Eric's been beaten down already. Listen.
Today's going to suck.
When you read that sign, and no disrespect to everyone else here, but it doesn't hit as hard when you're the second, third, fourth, fifth person. So when I showed up here, I was just in the corner just crying.
The Edge of Extinction is its own unique challenge.
Yeah, it is.
We also got many, many, many more like like eye level focus close-ups of Eric than we have anybody, I think, on Edge of Extinction or potentially in the history of Survivor. There were so many just like, I'm the camera's 3 inches from your face, but pretend we're not here moments. So
yeah.
He got the full Edge experience.
Yeah.
So, look, so to speak.
It's tough out there on the Edge of Extinction, and Eric was really feeling it.
There's no chance at pizza.
So that is very, you know, that I guess there is pizza upside, but not everybody was feeling bad for Eric on the Edge of Extinction. My good friend and amazing racer Brett LaBelle said, "I believe my personal hell is being alone on a deserted island with an unlimited amount of Fiji pizza to eat and no sail to raise so I can escape."
So there's like the I want off of the island sale, and then there's like a separate just don't bring us any more pizza sale.
There's no chance at pizza.
That's a good thing.
That kills me. The Brett LaBelle pizza takes on Survivor. Okay, let's bounce around a little bit more. How about this tweet from Randy Bailey had a tweet during the show. Mr. Positivity, Randy Bailey, he said, "I am not sure what ruined my evening the most, the silliest tribal council in history or seeing Rupert in the Amazing Race commercial."
What do you mean?
I think Randy does know explicitly which of those ruined his evening more.
That was great. I do love it that Rupert, he has officially moved his Twitter to @Rupert's kids in his Amazing Race bio. So he used to have Rupert Boneham as his official Twitter, but as we've reported on this podcast, that Rupert is officially, he's locked out, he can't get in, and now he's officially had to move to @Rupert's kids.
Oh gosh, I don't know how you can just get. Maybe I'm, well, we talked about, well, we, as we will talk about, I've been on Twitter for a while. And it just, and working in marketing and social media, you have, you know, contacts at Twitter. Maybe I can reach out and do something. Okay. We'll see if I can get this fixed.
All right. We'll see. Maybe Kirk Clark could be, the hero of the Rupert Boneham Twitter saga. Okay. All right, let's see some other tweets from this week. Okay, this was one from Rick Devins. And, you know, there was a lot of the contestants, have taken to Twitter this season or talking about what's happening, explaining things that we didn't get to see in the episode. Rick Devins tweeted, "Hey, Survivor fans, I've gotten a lot of great questions about last night. I'm going to wait until the end of the season to answer, though. Production works so hard. I want you to enjoy their story without my bias."
Yeah. And I saw some of the
I think you're all getting played.
I saw some of the chatter around that in terms of like, is this kind of like, is he kind of casting an eye at certain other survivors, or is he just being polite and considerate? I don't know.
I'm of two minds because one, you know, I do a podcast, I talk about Survivor social media, so I want social media to be exciting. So I'm of that mind. And also, we, you know, for many years have exit interviews on the show, so then the person who gets voted off does get to, you know, what's the difference between if somebody is talking on Twitter or if I ask them the next day, so tell us what happened at Tribal Council last night. But I do feel like that it's a little more unfiltered and there's no guardrail, where if somebody is in an exit interview, like says something that's like super spoilery, you know, there is a publicist from CBS on the phone that's like, let's not have that in the interview. And this is, you know, without that guardrail. So, you know, I guess it depends on your preference, but I guess there's not a big difference between the self-conducted exit interview and then the exit interview that would happen on a podcast or in print.
And also kept factoring in also the fact that was a lot of mouthful, taking into account that Devin's is very practiced in the form of in the field of media relations.
Yes.
So I think this is also something that just might come second nature to him as well. And just, this is, you know, this is how it's probably, I just kind of want to handle things. You know, in terms of the other extreme where you're not like, there's one extreme where you're saying potentially too much and people are reading between the lines, things that, production potentially doesn't want them to. You have this other extreme where it's just like, I'm not saying anything. I think you potentially have to swing back and forth between those two extremes before it lands somewhere that's a bit more mediated and in terms of what will work. I don't think we're in either of those places yet, but I do prefer, I guess, more discretion versus turning the volume up to 10.
Okay. Christian Hubicki tweeted this week, meant to dine in at Wendy's, but accidentally did drive-thru out of habit. Too embarrassed to admit my mistake and eat my drive-thru food inside. Saving face by eating in my car instead and tweeting about it. To which Victoria responded, as Wendy herself, I'd just like to say thank you for choosing my establishment. Please come back anytime.
As opposed to Big Wendy's.
Yes. I know we were going towards a Big Wendy's joke there, but no, she embraced that she is herself Wendy. Please come back.
At least he hasn't like paid for the food and then driven off without it, which I have done more than once. Christian gets a pass, you know, no shame, you know, eating the, what you meant to be dine in. Eating in the car. I think it's a little bit strange to be walking in with food and just sitting down and eating.
Yeah, I guess he has such a sense memory of going to the drive-thru that instincts took over.
Yeah, it happens. Sometimes you go to Taco Bell and you get caught by the hunters while eating the parking lot. Sometimes you go through Wendy's and just accidentally eat where you're not meant to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then Victoria also and her dad had a Twitter exchange that she tweeted. You have to live inside again, Victoria, they said. Survivor's over, Victoria, they said. I guess she has a lot of plants around her house. And her dad said, and no more running around in your underwear. So don't tell me what to do, Dad. You should stand up to Ron Clark like that, Kurt.
I do. He does not want me running around in my underwear. And I just do, you know.
Yeah.
Clark's gonna Clark.
Okay. Then we saw a thawing or at least some exchange between the War Dog and your dad, Ron Clark.
Okay.
Okay. War Dog is really all over social media. That War Dog tweeted, "Why is the War Dog the only one not super excited about tonight?" And Ron Clark said, "Anytime you aren't excited about something is a good time." And the War Dog said, "Go fly a kite, Ron Clark." And Ron Clark said, "I'd like to see you try it." I love that War Dog is sticking with Vice Principal War Dog and, sticking with full names.
Yeah, it's first of all, you know, don't come at my dad. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I think we can now officially throw out the window the idea that if somebody is extremely active on Twitter, they, you know, that automatically means that they're like only see the first 4 weeks of the game.
Yes.
Sometimes it just means.
Well, Tony broke that.
But we seem to like always like theorize it still in like up like in upcoming sessions. I think we most recently with Alec Merlino. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people just like to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we saw in practice on the tribal council, War Dog return to full Rick Devins.
Yeah.
So, whole different connotation when you say Rick Devins that way.
Yeah, there were, especially when it's not in the context of any other part of a sentence. It was kind of like the
Rick Devins.
Yeah, I was like, parkour. You shout it at the end of a just anything that happens, just to kind of as its own exclamation point. It's a good tag.
We like it. Okay. Boy, the survivors were just really blown away by this episode. Even Troyzan was really blown away that he tweeted about the episode. Holy crap, all Survivor Tribal is a madhouse. It's a madhouse.
He said it twice?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Holy crap, all
click, click. Well, it's I'm trying to think if he's been involved in anything like this insane. I can't remember if he was in the Game Changers Tribal, mm-hmm. where Malcolm went home. That was probably the closest thing that he would have gotten to. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember if he was like on the tribe that was exempt from that or not.
I don't think he was there.
Yeah. So maybe this might be the most exciting thing he's seen in a while.
Hmm. Okay. Let me bring up one of our really intrepid patrons, Jody, spotted this. There was a post from Aurora on March 29th where she tweeted a picture of herself that says, who says lawyers always wear suits to work? What else would a sarcastic family law attorney wear to work? And she wears a t-shirt that says, I heart soccer moms.
Interesting.
And she said in the episode, after that she was getting annoyed with Julie, she said, I can't stand these soccer moms.
I'm digging the yellow kicks she's got on, too. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. Maybe she's come around full 180.
On the
soccer moms, yeah. Is this a hint for things to come? Do Arira and Julie mend fences? We'll see.
Okay. Carl Boudreau at Godfather Carl, that he tweeted at Rick Devins WGXA. He said, don't be the poop or the shark or the minnow, because shite is shite no matter what, LOL.
Okay. I can't really disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I need to really read into that. Like, that's very deep. He says, don't be the poop or the shark or the minnow.
Yeah, I'm kind of having a little bit of war dog reaction to ferreting out that metaphor. Yeah,
I got to be honest. I don't even know what that means.
Yep, that's what I'm channeling right now.
Yeah, okay. But don't be the poop, the shark, or the minnow, says Cebu.
Just get out of the water, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay, Lyrsa's tweets, last night Survivor was crazy. That tribal was hashtag mega live. But moving forward, isn't it great? It's almost hashtag Friday and the hashtag weekend is just around the corner. What a pivot.
Excuse me?
What a pivot from Mega Live Tribal Council. But moving forward, isn't it great? It's almost Friday and TGIF. The weekend is around the corner. I love it. That was a great tweet.
Just kind of encapsulating a whole week in one tweet. That's a great skill.
But I digress. Yeah,
but I digress.
Yeah.
Anybody have Memorial Day plans?
Mm-hmm. Gordon Holmes had a good one, too, that he noticed that Gavin was talking about how he wanted to vote out David Wright. The majority said that they wanted to do something else. And Gavin said, stop acting like this is a dictatorship.
Now.
Yeah. I will say again, I do think that that if they went with Gavin's plan, I think that would have worked. I think that if the people that voted against Eric stuck together and voted with Kelly and Wardog and Lauren, that I think that they at least would have stuck together, although David Wright would have played his idol. So then I'm not sure how, but maybe one of them wouldn't have gone home. Like, I don't think that maybe then... does Kelly play her idol? Like, that's a fascinating scenario to play out.
Yeah, who would David and Devins have targeted in that instance? Because would they have targeted Kelly? Yeah. Would they have targeted? Yeah.
I still say, even if they put the votes on David Wright, David Wright plays his idol. Like, we end up with Julia, Gavin, Aurora, and Victoria. Like, are all still in the game? Like David Wright wasn't voting for them. Yeah. Like, he was probably voting for either one of the Lesu three people anyway. So either maybe does Kelly play her idol? Like, that would have been a fun tribal council too in a different universe.
I did like at the beginning of the episode how David said that Devins came around to his way, the right way. And I don't know if that was meant to be a pun or not, but you know what? He's correct.
David Wright is going third person on everybody. Okay. So, Kurt.
Yes.
Here's what we're going to do now.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, we're going to go back in time. Are you ready? Are you ready to go set the flux capacitor? We're going to go back in time to earlier this week when you and I had the chance to catch up with D. Schoolish.
Uh-huh.
And play our This Week in Survivor History quiz, which was recorded a day before. So we were even further away from the weekend on on Tuesday night when you and myself and Jordan Kalish caught up for This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Twish.
Yes, here we are, and we've gone back in time before Survivor Edge of Extinction episode number 9 because we need to talk to this man who is about to embark on a trip, I'm sure a very serious trip down to New Orleans, Louisiana. Please welcome the host and creator of This Week in Survivor History, Jordan Kalish.
How you guys doing? I am.
We're doing great. We're killing it so far.
Yes, I assume you've had a great social media segment. Really brought up some fantastic points about the episode in which blank lost. Who knows? And I'm doing well. Hopefully, I made it through my trip. And if not, it's been real.
Okay, Jordan, I just want to apologize for the jokes that Kurt made at your expense earlier in the podcast.
Kurt. Yeah, I'm lame. I was kind of sitting here waiting to be introduced. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No, I've been talking for the past hour.
Yeah, probably a good hour.
yeah. Just kind of going on. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. How dare you, Kurt? How dare you say that thing you're going to say?
Okay. Jordan, will you have a chance to see the King Cake baby during your trip to New Orleans?
You know what? I recently listened to the Stan tournament, and I was excited that something that had a New Orleans background won. I had never heard of it before, but I am looking forward to maybe seeing it while I'm there. And if I do, I'll take a picture and tweet it to you.
Okay. Will you scout any locations for KIA New Orleans for Survivor 40?
For sure. If I see something that looks good, where all the New Orleans survivors and survivors from around the world, I mean, you know, Wendell will be there no matter where. So, I'll do some scouting while I'm there.
Okay. All right. So before we get into the quiz, because Jordan's got a flight to catch, let me go ahead and thank our sponsor for this week's edition of the quiz. Those are our friends over at betonline.ag. And even though March Madness has come to an end and my bracket that Jordan Kalish filled out did so well, the excitement of sports in April is huge. You needed this. Baseball is in full effect. The Masters is coming up this weekend. The NBA playoffs are right around the corner. Get in on all the action. Sign up today for a free account on betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for your 50% welcome bonus. And that I've seen Jordan tweeting about how he's happy with the direction the Yankees are going now. Very sad, though, that they've tanked the rest of this week.
Well, I'm hoping by the time you're listening to this, they haven't, they have a winning record and all the players
not
are back
anymore.
From injury.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Not great. Not
yeah.
Great.
Okay. So, of course, baseball, Masters. Who's going to win the Masters, Jordan? You follow that?
Tiger Woods. Big comeback for Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It's 1997 all over again this weekend at the Masters. Don't sit on the sidelines.
Watch golf.
Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code podcast1 or text BET now to 238 6 6-9. Hey, 238-669 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with the text bet now at betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. Okay.
Rob, what do you think about that trade, Alonso for Gino Urshela? Are you a fan?
I don't. Pete Alonso?
Yeah, he traded to the Yankees when you're listening to
all
this.
All right. Come on. All right.
Gino Urshela is very, very good defensive third baseman.
I think he has a plane to catch.
In like 3 days.
Okay. All right. All right. Save this jocularity for when you're in New Orleans.
Okay. So we have the quiz. You and Kurt have been talking for a while now, so I hope you guys aren't too tired, too burned out to answer some Survivor trivia questions. You want me to do the rules, Rob? You want to do the rules? How do you want to do it this week?
Kurt, do you know the rules?
I pretty much know the rules. So yeah, you know, 2 points if you get it without the multiple choice, 1 point if you get it with the multiple choice. You can steal if it's 2 points.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Yeah. Okay, this could be like cutting the previously on out of the show. We could save like 5 minutes on the Twitch quiz.
I've been liking cutting the first of all, the previously sometimes gives up things that are going to happen on the episode. And it might not that it's a spoiler, but it might clue you into things that are going to happen later on in the episode. And also we're the super fans. We don't need the previously. We have like 8 hours of or more of podcasts per week that we listen to. So we don't need to do it either here. Let's not do it anymore. No more rules. Well, there are rules. I mean, I don't usually follow the rules, but here we go. Okay. Here are the four categories: an Angelina-like sacrifice, Joey Arts and Crafts, Swimsuit Bandit, and Episode Namers. Kurt, as the guest, you get to choose first.
I'm going to go for the swimsuit. What, Swimsuit Bandits, was it?
Swimsuit Bandit. We are going to go, I think for the first time this season, to Survivor Redemption Island. The episode is Rice Wars from April 20th, 2011, 8 years ago Saturday. Who stole and buried Philip's swimsuit so he'd have no choice but to walk around in his pink underwear?
Okay. So I've been thinking about this for several weeks, not this specific question, but my strategy. And I'm going to have to force myself to go for the multiple choice.
All right. So going for the multiple choice, Rob will not be able to steal a point on this one. We have A, Julie Wolf, B, Ralph Kaiser, C, Steve Wright, D, production.
I am going to go with Ralph.
With Ralph Kaiser. So, this very uncomfortable episode of Survivor. A lot of back and forth here, mainly between Philip and Steve Wright, where Philip accuses Steve Wright of being a racist. But so
one of the reasons I have Redemption Island at dead last in my season rankings.
Same. There's a reason that this is the first time we're going to the Redemption Island. Well, but this was more of a fun scene from that pretty dark episode. It was actually Julie Wolf who gets voted out here. She's the one who buries his swimsuit. Yeah. Julie Wolf. So you get a point, Kurt. And
why does he get a point?
Wait, sorry, you don't get a point. You don't get a point, Kurt. I'm sorry. Look, I just came back from a bachelor party in New Orleans.
No, you didn't go yet.
This is the future, Rob.
Not when we're recording it.
Okay, so you get a zero for that. No points. It was Julie Wolf. She has a good line when she goes out of the game and says to Philip that he's not going to find his swimsuit, but he actually does. So he got a vision from his great uncle Jessam Herring or whatever he was. Okay,
see,
Rob,
if I had been getting a point for guessing what season the question was going to be about, I would have scored.
Well, that's yes, well,
that,
that's,
but that
that's
wasn't
why
it.
They, yes, that would have been a little bit too easy for the quiz. Rob, you choose your category. We have an Angelina-like sacrifice, Joey Arts and Crafts, and episode namers.
Okay. I'm going to go with Joey Arts and Crafts.
Okay, we're going to Survivor Worlds Apart, Living on the Edge from April 15th, 2015, 4 years ago Monday. And this is a question concerning current Edge of Extinction resident and also newly engaged Joey Amazing.
Not as newly at the time you're hearing this.
Not as newly, but it's still pretty new. It's still pretty new. I'm sure you spoke about it on the social media segment earlier in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So current Edge of Extinction resident Joey Amazing was voted out of Survivor Worlds Apart this week in Survivor history. Before his torch was snuffed, he created a fake hidden immunity idol and gave it to Mike Holloway. Who did Mike attempt to play the idol for at Tribal Council?
Okay. I believe I know this. This didn't come up recently on the quiz. Maybe it came up in the Joey Amazing preview, but I believe that the answer is one of the greatest guys, Will Sims.
Will Sims, a great fan of Rob Has a Podcast, great fan of yours, is the correct answer, and you get 2 points. It hasn't come up on Twitch. Maybe it did come up during the preview episode, which I did listen to with last week's guest, Jenny Autumn. But yeah, that is correct. I actually, this is one of the moves that Mike Holloway made that he got to the end a lot because he...
High highs and low lows. Yeah.
High highs and low lows. Didn't really necessarily get to the end too much because of strategy. He won a lot of immunity challenges, but this is one of his better strategic moves where I think he was able to, you know, really get Will Sims to trust him because I guess there was a small chance that the idol was real. It looked really good. It looked like a real idol. And he pretends to play it for Will here, knowing that it's probably fake. So Rob, you have a 2-0 lead here. Kurt, you need to get this one right. An Angelina-like sacrifice or episode namers?
Episode namers, please. This might be a reverse Jenny Autumn, but I think I'm going to try to get on the board this time.
Cool. So, when I say you need to get it right, you could actually technically still get it wrong and win the quiz, but it's just putting yourself in a bigger hole. We're going to Survivor Token Chains, the biggest fraud in the game from April 16th, 2009, 10 years ago Tuesday. The episode in which Coach tells his near-death Amazon story was called the biggest fraud in the game. Who called Coach this in a confessional in reaction to his crazy story?
Okay. I will take the multiple choice on this one.
All right, going with your strategy from the last question. We have A, Brendan Sinot, B, Aaron Lobdell, C, Sierra Reed, or D, Taj Johnson-George.
I am going to ask Siri.
You have that option.
Yeah, I was going to ask Alexis Maxwell, but I'm going to ask Siri instead.
Okay, we decided not to go over the rules this time, and I forgot about that one specific rule. So it's I'm happy that you remembered it. You could ask your Siri Fields or your who did we say was on here? Sarita from Survivor Redemption Island. It could be that.
Yes, as much Redemption Island as we can get in here.
Yeah, let's call it Surreal Fields.
I actually did this successfully for one of your questions in a previous week regarding Will Sims' birthday, but this probably won't work out. I'm gonna ask Siri.
Tabulator at work.
Okay, yes. What was the title of the episode again? Could you repeat? It was the biggest fraud in the game?
Sure, the biggest fraud in the game, and I could reread the question if you'd like me to.
No, I'm good. Okay. Siri, who called Coach the biggest fraud in the game in Survivor? And I guess the audio is not coming. I said, sorry, I can only search by topic for movies. So I'm just going to put Siri to the side because it actually heard fraud as frog.
the biggest frog in the game.
The biggest frog in the game. One of the answers I had in mind was on your list, which is always good. So I'm going to go with Brendan.
Brendan is correct. So now you get a point. See, Rob, I predicted the future. This is when Kurt Clark gets his 1 point. It was Brendan who, again, like the Julie Wolf question, he's the one who's voted off in this episode. One of my favorite parts of the Coach story, one of the more underrated parts, and I actually asked the question last year on Twitch about this, is right after he tells his story, Brendan asks Coach, is like there's an awkward silence, and then Brendan asks, how much does it cost to get a helicopter to drop you into the Amazon. And then it's followed by this confessional where he calls Coach the biggest fraud in the game. So yes, you get 1 point. Very good job. Rob, you have a 2-1 lead and you get the last question. The question is called an Angelina-like sacrifice. We're going to Survivor Game Changers. There's a new sheriff in town from April 19th, 2017, 2 years ago Friday. Before the Game Changers merge feast, Probst told Nuku and Mana that the players would only get one cracker and a sip of iced tea per person unless one person from each tribe sat out. Which two players volunteered to sit out, earning the full feast for the newly merged tribe?
I'm going to need to hear the choices to refresh my memory.
Sure. Was it A, Aubrey and Ozzy, B, Aubrey and Ty, C, Brad and Ozzy, D, Brad and Ty?
Can I hear the choices one more time?
Sure. Was it A, Aubrey and Ozzy, B, Aubrey and Ty, C, Brad and Ozzy, D, Brad and Ty, and you're trying to pick the two
Brad and Ty.
D, Brad and Ty. Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching. Rob, you get a point. That is correct, and you have a 3-1 lead. It gave those two allies from the pre-merge some time to talk at the merge, so I think there was some strategy behind it as well. 3-1, Rob, going into the death match. Kurt, you're still alive, so it's unlike the last 2 weeks. It is still a game going into the final round. The death match is called Food, Love, or Advantage. In the Koh Rang Final 8, castaways were able to compete for a reward of their choice. The options were a meal, including a hamburger, fries, cookies, and beer, letters from home, or an advantage in the game. I will randomly give you a player from Koh Rang, and you must tell me what they chose to compete for in this challenge. Four answers will be given during the round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points. If there's a tie after four answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker. So, Kurt, you start by choosing a number between 1 and 8 to decide the order.
But don't worry, Jordan will change it.
I will not check. This is not an Amazon question. This is Koh Rang. It's fair.
Okay.
I will go with 7.
Okay. We have Scott Pollard. Did he pick play for Food, Love, or Advantage?
This is going to probably... Oh, I am going to guess that he played for Food.
Scott Pollard, big guy, NBA player, did play for Food. You have a 3-2 lead, Rob, and it is your question. If you get this one right, we keep going either way. So the next one is Ty.
Ty. Believe that Ty played for Advantage.
Advantage is correct, Rob. You have a 4-2 lead. Kurt, you need to get this one right to keep going, and it is Sydney.
I wonder if she was facing the same issue that Scott was. She probably felt a little bit safe at this point, so I'm gonna guess Food.
Food is incorrect. She was also playing for the Advantage, so you do not get a point here. Rob, you win the quiz 4-2, a nice comeback after getting shut out against Jenny Autumn last week. So just to break this down, Ty was the one who won the Advantage. He was competing against Sydney and Aubrey. Scott, as we know, competed for Food. He lost to Michelle. Jason actually also competed for Food. And then Julia defeated Joe to compete for the Letters from Home. So good job, both of you. Both of you were able to score points this week, but Rob takes the win.
Okay. All right. Kurt, valiant effort.
I honestly did better than I thought I would. I was happy to get on the board on this one. So good game. Good game.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you did okay. I mean, let's not get carried away. Hey, give Kurt Clark a break. The guy is working real hard on this podcast, and these questions are sometimes poorly worded.
That's a good point, Tim Tebow. That is good.
Which question was poorly worded this week?
The questions are poorly worded. That
my tabulation was a little bit suspect at the beginning of the quiz, but I think I think I was able to get back on the right track, and I think I did all the math right. So and nothing was poorly worded this week. I double checked.
Okay.
So Kurt, question that we like to ask everybody who comes on this podcast: who's living rent free in your head? I mean, no, sorry, wrong podcast. Who was the first survivor you followed on Twitter?
It was most
Kurt's
likely
an OG.
Going.
He's been on these Twitter streets for a long time.
Yeah, it would
at least 10 years, right?
I want to say yeah. Definitely yeah.
At Kurt Clark on Twitter not showing up to the party pretty early.
It would have been most likely Steven or Rob, and I'm pretty sure it was Steven.
Listen, Kurt Clark joined Twitter April 2007. Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew what Twitter was in April 2007.
Yeah. Wait, were you the first person on the platform?
I might have been.
You've been on Twitter for 12 years?
Well, keep in mind, like, I worked at an ad agency on like digital media, so it was like you kind of had to be on there and see what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would it make you feel old if I told you I was in high school when you joined Twitter?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah,
I think
but
a lot of people think
correct.
You are still in high school.
Who thinks that? Nobody thinks that. I coach high school, but I'm not in high school.
Okay.
You're correct. Steven was the first survivor, followed directly by Rob. The first non-know-it-all survivor that you followed on Twitter was Vitas Biskauskas.
And I think I followed him before he was on Survivor because I knew he went to school with one of my coworkers.
Yeah.
I think
Steven was on Survivor at the time that Kurt got on Twitter.
That might be about right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Jordan, anything else for this week in Survivor history, the quiz?
Well, this sort of reminded me of this week. Like we used to always, this was a very old school Twitch where I would only record with you for like a short time, like 20 to 30 minutes, and it would just be the quiz. It kind of reminded me of when a former Yankee Jabba Chamberlain was a closer, and then they tried making him a starter, and then they brought him back to being a closer, and it was a complete disaster. So I hope this wasn't as much of a disaster as the Jabba Chamberlain experiment.
Okay. All right.
You're not going to cut that, right?
We'll see. Let me mull it over the next couple of days. All right, Jordan, please be safe in New Orleans.
I'm a starting pitcher. Oh, of course I'll be safe. I'm going to have a good time. My friend since kindergarten is getting married. It's going to be he's getting married next month. So it'll be a lot of fun in New Orleans. Never been there before, and I'll try to do some scouting research for you while I'm down there.
Yes, please do. How many guys are in this bachelor party?
It's 8 or 9. I forgot how many of his college friends are coming.
How many hotel rooms are there?
3 hotel rooms. I believe it's 9 people.
9 guys, 3 hotel rooms. Kurt, is this sound right to you?
I don't know, but I talked to Dr. Mike about how he should arrange this Airbnb issue.
I can tell what kind of trip it is if you give me the number of guys and then the number of hotel rooms. I know everything that I need to know about the bachelor party. Okay, this is middle of the road. Not that crazy.
I know we're going to a crawfish boil, which I'm very excited about. And we're doing a fan boat ride, and we're going to see crocodiles or alligators. I don't know. Which one's there? Do you know which one's there, crocodiles or alligators? I'm not sure.
I think gators.
It's gators, right?
Yeah, gators.
Where do crocodiles live?
The Amazon.
There we go.
Okay. You know, they're not mammals, Rob.
Yes, thank you. All right, Jordan Kalish, everybody. Follow Jordan Kalish on Twitter. All right, Jordan, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, everybody, we are back. Good news, Lear, it's the weekend again. We're back. We pivoted off of this week in a Survivor history quiz. Hopefully, Jordan Kalish is going to make it home okay from the bachelor party.
We're hoping so. I think he's bouncing right over to Know-It-Alls in Philly.
Yeah, so he is a world traveler. Get him on the Amazing Race, Mr. Jordan Kalish. Okay, I actually want to go back to a call that was supposed to be on last week's show with Dr. Mike that we didn't get to, but I think it's interesting. And so you are the tabulator. You work with numbers. Maybe might be able to give us some insight here.
Hey, Rob and Mike. This is Aaron from Jersey. I wanted to ask a question about the jury. Now, as a Survivor super fan, as I am, and I know you two guys are also,
hey,
I've noticed that every season that's ended with an 8 has had a final 2. Season 8 had a final 2, obviously. Season 18 went back to having a final 2 after the last season to have it was season 16. And season 28 had a final 2 after the last season to have it was season 18. So, is this trend going to end? I think it's going to end with this extended jury, which should be, I believe, about 13 people. Just something to talk about. Love the show. You guys are awesome and keep doing what you're doing, Rob. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. So, Kurt, is there any possibility of a final two, considering this is a season that ends with an eight?
Is it a possibility? I would say yes. Is it a high possibility? I would say no. I think they're still leaning into, like, where my mind starts to melt a little bit is like figuring out the whole final four fire building challenge, how that would factor into a final two season. If it would still, so I think that, that it's not going to be happening. I think the caller is correct that we are going to break that trend.
Yes. But Eric Reichenbach is still going to come back for Survivor 46, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. Good. That's right after Abby Maria wins in Survivor 44. All right. How about another one? How about one from Chase? Chase wants to talk about Eric on the Edge of Extinction. Here's Chase.
Hey, Robin, Eric. We saw out on Extinction Island, Eric was considering leaving. And he was considering leaving right until he saw Chris rise up out of that ocean, that big, juicy stingray. And what I was wondering is, if you were on Extinction Island and you were about to raise the mast, which survivor would you need to see rise up out of the ocean to keep you in the game? Thanks so much. Bye.
Yeah, I did talk about this with Eric, but with Eric Stein, I did talk to him, but I do love this clip of Eric from the Edge of Extinction.
Chris comes back with a really big stingray, and I'm thinking, there's a story here for me to tell my kids.
Did your dad, Ron Clark, ever tell you stories like this?
About Chris coming
about
up
big,
out,
about big stingrays?
All the time. It's, it's how I got to sleep.
That is one heavy stingray. Okay. Kurt, yep. What's next for you?
Know-it-alls.
No, Kurt is on his way to Philadelphia with an in-person run-in with Jordan Kalish and many more.
Yep, going to Bryce and Wendell's karaoke party on Tuesday night, attending Know-It-Alls on Wednesday, just random other kind of patron and non-patron events over the course of the week. So it's I'm going to be there from Sunday to Saturday.
Yes. Kurt, you were telling me right before we came on that you have a interesting way that you are going to catch up on Game of Thrones also.
Yeah, well, I did listen to your season 8 preview. Actually, just wrapped that up today right before our podcast. But no, there is a YouTube channel that has a Game of Thrones catch up, not like the Game of Thrones mustard, but a Game of Thrones way to catch up on the seasons. It's like a 50-minute video that just kind of encapsulates everything. So I've been watching that.
Yeah, what is it called?
Oh, the channel, I believe, is called Cram It.
Chris comes back with a really big stingray, and I'm thinking, there's a story here for me to tell my kids.
And so, if it's a really long story, you know where to go.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Kurt. Anything else you want to tell the listeners of Rob as a Podcast?
Not that I can think of. If you're heading to Philly, keep an eye out for me. Say hello. Would love to say howdy. Mm-hmm. Keep voting in the Wand Off.
Yes.
Vote early. Vote often, but not too often.
Okay. Yes. Kurt is the tabulator, of course, that he puts together he gets our poll up every week for the Wand Off, and then also looks for any sort of suspicious behavior of the voters. Kurt, have you seen a lot of voter irregularity in the Wand Off this season?
Just this past week.
Aurora gets two votes. Don't forget.
That's true. Aurora does get two votes. We had the return of some rogue voting from Cherry Hill, New Jersey for the first time in a few seasons, which was kind of fun.
That is the home base of, for whatever reason, voter irregularity.
Yes, it is. And ground zero, patient zero. It's been fun. We had had increased voter turnout from previous seasons.
Good. So. All right. Go every week to robhasawebsite.com/vote Wanda. So we still have a lot of stuff to do here in terms of this week of Survivor. The Wiggle Room, as Kurt just mentioned, of course, we're going to get into everything with Josh Wiggler. And then, of course, we'll have this week's Wand Off. If you missed my conversation with T-Bird Cooper, it was a lot of fun. Eric Stein also had a bonus podcast with the winner of Survivor Fiji, the original King of Fiji, Earl Cole, and that is up as well, all in our Robin's podcast feed. Then we are going to switch gears on Sunday night to start talking about Game of Thrones. Stephen Fishback and I will be together live after the episode for the Snow It Alls. And we have an opportunity for you, the listeners, to call us in live using the FanCred app. So if you go to fancred.com, you can ask us a question live at the end of our live Game of Thrones recap. You can go ahead and get that on the YouTube channel if you want to watch us live. And of course, the podcast will be in our post-show recaps podcast feed over on postshowrecaps.com. News AF to come, and then the live know-it-alls from Philadelphia coming up on Wednesday, hoping that we can stream that live. If not, we will have the video posted after the show. Kurt, thank you again.
No worries. My pleasure.
All right, everybody, have a good one. Take care. Oh, and of course, thank you to the patrons. Of course, I'll see so many of them in Philadelphia. If you want to find out more about becoming a patron of Rob as a Podcast and find out everything that we're doing in our Rob as a Podcast patron community, get access to our secret patron podcast feed. I will be doing our weekly Facebook call with I take calls from the patrons once a week. We'll be doing that today on Saturday. So I got that coming up. Looking forward to that as well. Go ahead and check out robhasawebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.